be turning in your Bibles now to the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Romans, the 13th chapter. I don't know how it is at your house, but just about every morning at our house, we have this nuisance that takes place. And the nuisance that I'm talking about is called an alarm clock. Amen? And the only good thing I know about an alarm clock is the snooze button. Amen? And that's sort of my philosophy, and that is that I always hit the snooze button and lay back down for just a few more minutes. Amen? Just a few more minutes. But at some point, we have to wake up. And we have to get up and we have to get dressed up. And the reason why is because of the fact that there are things that need to be done. You have appointments that you need to keep and places that you need to go. At some point, we have to wake up. And whenever Paul was writing to the Romans, he is writing about that very topic, and that is about the subject of waking up. If there's one thing that needed to be happening in the city of Rome, is there needed to be some awakening that was taking place. That is, the people in the city of Rome needed to wake up. Rome really needed to wake up. Now, when we're talking about the city of Rome, we're talking about probably the most important city in the world at that time. That is, the Roman Empire was the world power of the day. There was no other people group or government or power of that day that competed with the Roman Empire. It dominated the world in the time period of the first century and even in the centuries following that as well. It was a mighty power. And the power of the Roman Empire was concentrated, or it flowed out of, the city of Rome. So when you're talking about the city of Rome, you're talking about the powerhouse of the world. This is the city where indeed the emperors ruled from, the emperors of the Roman Empire. And we find that it was to the believers who lived in the city of Rome that Paul wrote this letter, the letter to the Romans. And as he got closer to the end of it, he began setting off the alarm clock, so to speak. Now, one of the things that I discovered, and I mentioned it Wednesday night when we were talking Wednesday night about waking up Peter, one of the things that I mentioned was the fact that the smartphones that all of us are carrying today, or many of us are carrying today, I found out that they have alarm clocks on them. And so that now you don't even have to have your alarm clock like we have at our house. All you have to do is just set your phone. Now listen, I have a smartphone and I know how to answer it and say hello. Hello. And I know how to do that. And I know how to send a text and read one if you send me one. I know how to do a few things, but I have never set the alarm on my phone. I don't know. There's just something about a phone that shouldn't be an alarm clock to me. I don't know what it is. And besides that, if I set it, it'd probably be going off during church. And if somebody's phone goes off during church, don't be embarrassed. It'll just add to the sermon, okay? But you can just set your phone. Well, if the people in the city of Rome, if they had smartphones in the city of Rome, that is, their alarms, would be going off. That is, the alarm clocks on their phone, and it would be saying, wake up. Wake up, Rome. It's time to wake up. The Bible says here in Romans 13, and verse number 11, Paul says that knowing the time, that is, as Paul was observing the times, the age in which they were living, he said that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. That is, if he was writing to me, the pastor at Eastern Gate, he would say, Brother Jeff, it is time to quit hitting the snooze button. It is time, past time, to get up and get out of bed, to wake out of your sleep. And here's the reason why that it's time to wake up in Rome, is because now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that little phrase there means this, and that is, the second coming of Christ is getting closer and closer and closer. You see, when you look at salvation, you can look at it from three different perspectives. And that is, you can look to the past, and you can look at the present, And you can look at the future. If you look at the past, you'll remember that day that God saved you. That is, we call that regeneration. The day when you were born again, that day when God convicted your heart and you realized that you were lost and God spoke to you and worked in you and brought you to the end of yourself as a lost sinner of trusting in what Christ did for you on the cross. And God came to live on the inside of you and you became a brand new creature in Christ. You can look to the past and remember that day that God saved you, regeneration. But also, now that you're saved, you can look at your life right now and He lives on the inside of you and He's still doing a work in you currently this present day that we call sanctification. And that is that God is making you more like Christ. He not only saved you in the past, but He is at work in your life even now. That is making you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can also look to that day in the future, can't you? And that is that one of these days when Jesus comes again, there's going to be what we call glorification. In the past, we see our regeneration, born again. In the present day, we see our sanctification being made more like Christ. But in the future, we think about glorification when the Lord comes the second time, and the same one who changed my heart when He saved me in the past, and the same one who's been working in my life, changing my character ever since my conversion, is going to come and change my body and give me a new body that is a body like His body, a glorified body, and we're going to share in His glory for all eternity. You can think of salvation in all three of those ways. Well, when Paul writes here and he says that our salvation is nearer than when we believed, he's looking forward to the future aspect of salvation. That is, he's looking forward to that time whenever we're going to experience what he wrote about earlier as the redemption of our body in Romans chapter number 8. That is, that time when Christ comes back and gives us a new body and he catches us up into the air to meet him in the air and we will be forever with him. Not only did he save us, ladies and gentlemen, not only did he save us from the penalty of sin in our past when we met Him, not only is He delivering us from the power of sin as we live out the new life in Christ, but one of these days He's going to deliver us or save us from the very presence of sin when He gives us a new body and ushers us into His very presence when He comes again. So it is that future aspect of salvation, that time of glorification, that time when Christ is going to come and save us from the very presence of sin, when He comes the second time that He has in mind, when He writes here that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. In other words, what he's saying to these folks is, remember when you got saved? Well, you're a little bit closer to the second coming than the day you got saved. You're just that much closer. Now listen to me now. If it's true that these believers in Rome were a little bit closer to the second coming of Christ now than they were when they got saved, then how much more closer are we to the second coming of Christ today, now that it's some 2,000 years or so after Paul wrote these words? Getting closer to that time when salvation is going to be complete and our Lord is going to come. Listen to me now. Your phone's alarm should be going off right about now. Not really, but figuratively. That is, the alarm should be going off and saying, listen, we're living in the last days. We're getting closer and closer to the time that Christ is going to come again. And so everyone who is asleep, in light of the times in which we're living, it is about time or high time to awake out of sleep. Listen, you can't take the chance of sleeping any longer. You can't hit the snooze anymore. It is time for God's people, it is time for everyone to be awakened. In light of the fact that Christ's coming is getting closer and closer and closer. Now, when I speak about waking up, basically what I mean is this, and that is that there may be many who are indeed asleep. And indeed there are. And I'm not talking about being asleep in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. Here's what I mean. Somebody who is asleep is just not aware. They're not aware. They're unaware of reality. They're living in a dream world. Those of you that go to sleep at night like I do, every once in a while, while you're asleep, you have a dream. And it's just a dream. Amen? And some of the weirdest things, aren't they? I mean, isn't it amazing how the mind works and how we dream? And I don't understand all of that, but I know this. You can sure have some weird dreams. Amen? And aren't you glad when you finally wake up and find out it's just a dream? You see, that's what happens when you wake up. When you wake up, the dream world is over and reality sets in. And you realize, hey, that was just a dream. That's right. I'm not living on an exotic island, retired and have nothing to do. That was just a dream. I got to get up and go to work. I mean, reality sets in. Whatever it is that you might be dreaming of, maybe you had a bad dream and you wake up and you realize it's really not real and you're so thankful that it is not. But the dream world is gone and reality sets in. Let me say to you that the fact that there are many who are spiritually asleep means that they are unaware of spiritual realities, what is really happening in the spiritual realm around us. And we're simply living in a dream world. In a dream world that is not reality. And therefore it is time to wake up. Some of you here, and that's what you're living. You are living in a dream world that is out of touch with spiritual reality. And it is indeed time to wake up in light of the fact that Christ could come any time. And I believe in the imminent return of Christ. And what I mean by that is that Christ could return any day and the events of the last days will suddenly begin to unfold rapidly, unexpectedly. And in light of that fact, listen to me now, it is indeed time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Paul emphasized this right here in Romans 13, verse number 11, that it is time to wake up. He emphasized it again in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, a passage of scripture that we looked at a few weeks ago in a message that I preached, and that is he tells them in light of the fact that Christ is coming again and that he's coming, he is going to be like a thief in the night. That is, those who are not prepared but who are in the night asleep spiritually and not aware of spiritual realities and that are unprepared, his coming will be sudden and unexpected and they will not be ready. And listen to me now, the Bible says it will be like travail upon a woman, and that is that they shall not escape, and that is just like a woman who's expecting a baby will go through travail and will not escape, that even so the world will not escape the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen, we are living in a day that is closer and closer and closer to the return of our Lord, and it will not be delayed. It will not be stopped. He will come one of these days. Jesus emphasized this truth in Mark's gospel in Mark 13, and he told us that he was coming and that nobody knew the hour that he was coming. And in light of the fact that nobody knows the hour that he's coming, it is for that reason that we need to be watching. Or in other words, we need to be awake and alert and ready, because we don't know when it is that he is going to come. And therefore, we need to be awake and ready. Listen to me. It is indeed time to wake up. A couple of things I want to mention to you this morning, and then I'll deal with a few other things tonight. And that is it. One of the things is, when Paul was writing here about waking up, I believe that first of all, that the culture needs to wake up. When I use the word culture, I mean that all of humanity needs to wake up. The culture is the body of people that make up humanity in a certain region. In other words, when he was writing here to the Romans and he said it's high time to awake out of sleep, one of the things that he might have had in mind is that the people, the culture in Rome needs to wake up. That is, all of the people who are in the city of Rome, all of you who are in Rome need to indeed wake up. That's the reason why I believe that in Romans chapter number 1 that the Apostle Paul wanted to go to the city of Rome and preach the gospel. Here's what he said at the beginning of this letter. In verse number 14 of chapter 1, he says, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, or with everything that I have, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. In other words, the Apostle Paul expressed his great desire to get to the city of Rome and to share the gospel. That is, to go to Rome and tell the people in the city of Rome the culture of Rome and reveal to them the good news about Jesus Christ, that he died for us on the cross, paid the price for our sin. He's raised the third day, ascended to the right hand of God. He's the Lord of glory, and one of these days he's coming back again. Do you know that the entire culture, the entire city of Rome, all of the people in the city of Rome, listen, the hub of the culture of that day needed to hear that message and be awakened to the reality that Christ is indeed coming again someday. I know it's hard for some of you to believe this, but do you know that there are many people in the culture who never even give a thought about the fact that Jesus is coming again someday? Don't even think about it. And do you know that many of those who do think about it, they scoff at the idea. As a matter of fact, Peter told us that it would be that way in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Let me just read to you a few verses out of 2 Peter chapter number 3 and just remind you of the fact that in the culture at large, that is among humanity, Peter said as the last days continue to progress, in the last days, people are actually going to scoff at the idea that Christ is coming again. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Walking after their own lust. That is, their life just centers around what satisfies their own lust, and they give very little thought to, and when they think about the second coming, they scoff at the idea of Christ coming again. Here's what they say according to verse number 4. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, that is, since the patriarchs were alive and died, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, here's what they're saying. Listen, we just don't believe in the second coming of Christ is concerned. We don't believe in it. Why, listen, we've heard this all of our life about this promise that Christ is coming again, but it's not happened yet. As far back as anybody can remember, things have always been the way they are, and they're always just going to be that way. That's a dream world. That's a dream world. The reality is that things haven't always been like they are. The Bible says in verse number 5 of this chapter, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. In other words, here's what he's saying. That is, that those who say, hey, listen, the world's just going to continue on like it is, and don't worry about the coming of Christ. That's just something the religious people talk about to get people to give their money to them. Don't worry about it. It's really nothing. Don't be thinking about that kind of stuff. It'll just kind of get you a little upset and thinking you need to get right and repent. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. It's just they scoff at His coming. But listen, those who scoff at His coming, the Bible says, are willingly ignorant. That is, they choose to ignore the reality. And the reality is that things haven't always been like they are. Did you know that when God created the world, it was a whole lot different than it is now? And the reason why is because one day God sent a cataclysmic flood in Noah's day, and God destroyed all of life except Noah and his family. The fountains of the deep were broke up. The atmosphere changed. The world as we know it today changed when the flood came, including probably the land masses as well. Everything changed when the judgment of God fell. And the same God who sent His judgment in Noah's day is the same God who has promised to also return one of these days. Things are not always going to continue like they are. If that's what you believe, you're living in a dream world and you need to wake up. The culture needs to wake up. The Bible says in verse number 7 of this same chapter, the heavens and the earth which are now, that is, the world that we live in now since the flood, the Bible says, by the same word that God sent the flood, by the same word are kept in store and reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, one of these days, God who has sent the flood is going to send fire, and God is reserving and preserving this world for that day when He's going to send the fire and destroy it by fire, melted with a fervent heat when Christ comes again. You say, God wouldn't do that. He did the flood and He'll do the fire. Don't be living in a dream world. Face reality. This world is going to be destroyed one of these days. He's coming again. Verse number 8, he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, here's what he's saying. Listen, here's another thing that they're ignorant of, and not only of God's activity in the past, but God's timing. You see, here's a reality for you, and that is that God is not operating according to my timetable. God's timetable does not fit on your smartphone or on my calendar or the one you have hanging on the wall. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God operates according to His own timetable. Does things and acts when He's ready to act, when it's His will to do so. You say, Pastor, that's not right, but you forgot who God is, didn't you? And it's not you. What I'm trying to speak to is the culture at large. The culture believes that everything revolves around humanity. But it doesn't. It revolves around God. And everything is happening according to His timetable. And one of these days on God's timetable, He has declared to us that the sun is going to rise. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And He's going to come and He's going to return. And listen to me now, there's going to be a global warming that you like you've never seen before. And there's going to be everything melted with a fervent heat, according to what we read right here in this passage. You say, well, why has the Lord not come yet? He's gracious, He's merciful. The Bible says in verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That is, God will keep His promise that He's going to return. But He said He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, you say, well, why hasn't He come yet? So that you could be here today, and so that you could hear this message, so that those of you that are lost would have one more opportunity to repent. One more. Amen. That's why He hasn't come yet. But listen to me now, but the day of the Lord, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. It will. It'll come like a thief in the night. Unexpected. People unprepared. And when He comes, it says, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Wish I could wake you up today. Some of you are living as though, and the culture is living as though, the Roman culture, as though Jesus is never coming. But He is. Do you know the fact of the second coming is absolutely clear in the Word of God? Jesus said in John 14 that He was going to go away and prepare a place for us. And He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus said that He was coming. The angels said that He was coming. In Acts chapter number 1, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, as the disciples are standing there watching Jesus ascend up out of their sight, there's two men in white apparel standing nearby and said, why stand ye gazing? Don't you know the same Jesus, the same one that you've seen ascending into heaven is going to descend in like manner? He's going to come again on the clouds. The angel said that He's coming. Peter said that He's coming right here in 2 Peter 3:10. James says that He's coming. Listen to James chapter number 5 and verse number 8. James writes this. He says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. John said that He was coming in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So John says that He's coming. The writer of Hebrews tells us that He's coming in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 37. Listen to the words of the writer of Hebrews. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Paul said that He was coming again. And 1 Thessalonians 4 is the classic passage where the Bible says that there's coming a day when Jesus is going to descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel. The trump of God is going to sound. And those who have died and went to heaven are going to return with Him. And the Bible says that when He comes again, those who have died in the Lord, their bodies are going to be raised from the dead, reunited with their souls from heaven. Do you know that those who are alive when He comes, the Bible tells us that we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air along with those who are raised in their glorified bodies. Jesus is going to come again one of these days. It is a certainty. The coming of Jesus Christ, the fact of His coming, is clear. You know, there are some things from the Bible that we have to just think, well, it's kind of in that gray area. We're not really sure what this means, but this is not one of them. The fact of the coming of Christ is clear. And listen, the fulfillment of the second coming is absolutely sure. It's sure. I remember reading over in Matthew's Gospel in Matthew 24, the Bible says that Jesus was speaking to His disciples, and as He was talking to them, He was giving them the signs of the times, the signs of His coming. And he goes through the entire 24th chapter of Matthew, just giving them sign after sign about what it's going to be like in the end, preparing them for the time of the end. He gives them signs that include signs that are going to take place in the first century, as well as those that are going to take place at the end of the age. And then he gives them a little illustration, and he says something like this. He said, listen, when you guys, and I'm going to paraphrase, okay, and that is that when you guys see the fig trees budding, when you see the fig trees budding forth, guess what you know? You know that summer is near. That's right. Now, we understand that, don't we? And that is, we could have said it this way, and that is that when you see the leaves budding out like they are now, then you know the summer is right around the corner. Even so, he said, when you start seeing all of these signs, these things come to pass, you know that my coming is near. And then he said something like this. You need to understand that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Now listen, the earth is going to pass away. But Jesus said, my words will not pass away. And here's what he was emphasizing. And that is that what he has said to them about the signs and the actuality of his second coming is going to happen. You see, our Lord is not like a lot of us who say they're going to do one thing and then end up doing something else or nothing at all. He's not like that. Every word that he said is going to take place. Christ is coming again. That's right. He's coming again. He's going to come to rule and reign with these saints on this planet for 1,000 years. He's going to destroy the Antichrist, the leader of the last days, along with the armies of the world in northern Israel in a valley called Megiddo. They will be wiped out by our Lord. Satan is going to be cast into a lake of fire. He is coming again. And listen, the culture needs to wake up. The culture, the people in Rome need to wake up. And the reason why is because we've been rocked to sleep, just thinking that everything is going to continue on as it is, as it always has been. Nothing's really going to change. But one of these days, God's going to interrupt history. The sun is going to come. And this life, as you and I know it, and this world is going to be over. Culture, need to wake up. Some of you are here and you're very much like the culture. That is, there were those in Rome who just, they didn't care about the second coming. And they need to wake up and realize he's coming. Some of you that are here are like our culture. Our culture, like the Roman culture, many parallels, like the Roman culture, we're so caught up in all of our pleasure and all of our prosperity. We're caught up in all of our popularity that we hardly ever think about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Are y'all still with me? Yeah, we're more concerned about what ball team is beating the other one than we are about the fact that Jesus is coming again. That's right. You say, well, Pastor, don't you think those things really matter? In a dream world, they do. But when Christ comes, all of that is going to be destroyed with a fervent heat. Are y'all still with me? You need to wake up. Christ is coming again. The culture needs to wake up. Let me say a second thing and then I'll try to close in a few moments. Not only does the culture need to wake up, but the condemned need to wake up. The condemned need to wake up. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, back over in the book of Romans in chapter 5 and verse number 18, Paul was writing about the condition of those who are without Christ. Those that are lost, those who've never been saved. And the Bible says there that because of Adam's sin, that is, because of one man's offense or one man's sin, Adam's sin, the Bible says that we've all come under the judgment and condemnation of God. That is, when Adam sinned, the entire human race fell into a sinful condition before God. And therefore, we are guilty before God. And listen, those who've never come to Christ and received forgiveness of sin and eternal life are still under that condemnation, still under that divine judgment that is rooted in Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. You say, well, Pastor, why in the world would God judge me? And the reason why is because of the fact that you are a sinner. you're a sinner. We've all, the Bible says, sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for that reason, because of our sin, we are under condemnation. And the reason why I want to bring that up is because when Jesus comes again, when that day finally comes, when Christ comes the second time, and if it were today, those who are condemned, listen to me now, are going to be forever separated from God. If you're here and you've never been saved, well, Pastor, I've never been saved, but, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. I know I'm not saved. And some of you might be here. Maybe you walked the aisle of the church or this church and you say, well, I've walked the aisle, but I'm really not sure I'm saved, but it's not really, I'm not really all that worried about it. But listen to me now. When Jesus comes again, those who have never been saved, the condemnation of God, the judgment of God is going to be poured out. Because we are sinners. And it is for that reason that you need to wake up today. If you're lost, you are under God's condemnation, and in light of the second coming of Christ, you must wake up today. You say, well, Pastor, maybe one of these days. No, I don't mean one of these days. I'm talking about this very day. It is time. It is high time. Quit hitting the snooze. It's time now to wake up. I mean, what if Christ were to come today? What if it was today? Lost person, if Jesus came today, then listen, all of those who are saved would be gone. Gone. Bible says that those who are saved are going to be raptured or caught up into the air to meet the Lord with the air. Those who are saved will be gone. Society will come under divine judgment. The judgment of God will begin to be poured out over a period of about 7 years. Judgment will be poured out like you have never known before. The cataclysmic and awful things that are going to happen during that time period are laid out for us in the book of Revelation. You say, Pastor, I'm not really worried about all that kind of stuff. Quit living in a dream world. This is reality. This is what is going to happen. Saints will be gone. Society will come under judgment, and sinners will be condemned, punished. Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, some startling verses that you need to understand. You need to be awakened to the reality of these verses. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, to you who are troubled, that is, those who are being persecuted, the church, rest with us. And here's why you can rest. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, listen now, when He comes, it'll be in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who don't know the Lord, who have not responded to the gospel, believed and repented, those who have not, the Bible says, when Christ comes, He will take vengeance on them. Now listen, if I was writing the Bible, I would tone it down a little bit. I would soften it up. But I didn't write it. God revealed it this way. He will come and take vengeance on those who don't know the Lord. And then He says in verse 9 that they'll be punished with everlasting destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Those of you that are under judgment, you've never been saved, you say never forgiven, in light of the fact that Christ is coming again, saved will be gone, society will come under divine judgment, and you will be punished with everlasting destruction. You should be awakened right now. Your alarm clock should be going off on the inside of you right now. You see, that's a scary thought. It should be. It should be. The Bible says that after Christ comes the second time, when He comes again, after the judgment of God is poured out and tribulation is poured out upon this earth, Christ will come and set up His kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. At the end of that time period, at the end of the age, the Bible says that every lost person that's ever lived is going to stand before Him. In Revelation 20, at the end of the chapter, before Him at a great white throne. If you're here and you're lost, that means you. And you'll be judged by Him. Bible says the books will be there and the books will be opened, and the dead, the lost will be judged out of those things that are written in the books. Those who are in hell will be delivered up out of hell and will stand before him at the great white throne. And there they are, standing before him. The Bible says there'll be no place to go, no place to escape, no place to hide, no place to run. And the books will be opened and they'll be judged out of those books, and then the book of life is going to be there, and those whose names are not found written in the book of life will be cast into a lake of fire, which is the second death. If it were to be that sometime during this day, gentlemen, that is, those of you that are lost, if you was to feel that sharp pain go across your chest and you were to black out and die today, you'd lift up your eyes in a place of torment called hell, and you would be there forever. That is, up until Christ has come again, established his kingdom, and sits on the great white throne. At that point, you'll have a summons, and you'll be brought up out of hell to stand before him at a great white throne, and then to be cast into a lake of fire, where you will spend all eternity. You say, "Pastor, I don't like to think about that." Listen, then you're living in a dream world. And today is the day that you need to wake up. You need to wake up. You say, "Pastor, I know that's going to happen to other people, but not to me." Listen to me. If you've never been saved, I'm talking to you. Are you ready? God is not going to make an exception for you. He will not, no matter who you are. You say, "But I've tried to live a halfway decent life. I've tried to do what is right." Listen to me. No exception. You say, "But I went to church and, you know, I've tried to do a few religious things and help people out a little bit." No exceptions. No matter who you are. Hell is real. The judgment of God is real. The lake of fire is real. That is, if you don't come to Christ as a lost sinner, broken over your sin, repentant before God, and rest all your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, if you never receive him, if you've never believed on him, listen, if you never do, then you will be forever under the judgment of God, in a place of torment forever. You say, "Who is it that's going to be separated from God?" You are. I'll say it again. Lost person, you are. If I could see into your heart, I'd walk right up to you right now and say to you that if you do not repent and turn to Christ, you yourself will be separated from God and under his judgment and condemnation for all eternity. If you're here and you don't know for sure you're saved, you need to wake up and get to dealing with that business. You need to start seeking God with all your heart. You need to find out whether you're saved or whether you're lost. You say, "Pastor, I've got plenty of time," but you don't know. You need to wake up. Can you hear it? One more second. Two more seconds. Three more seconds. Four more seconds. And closer you get to a place called hell, with every passing second, if you're not saved. Christ is coming. When he comes, your opportunity will be over. It could happen any time. It could happen any day. One breath away, Christ could come at any moment. And lost person, it would be God's judgment forever. You say, is there any hope for me? His name is Jesus. He's the one that can help you. He's the answer. But if you reject him, if you turn away from him, it's judgment forever. Listen to me. It's time to wake up. Our culture needs to wake up. But if you're here and you're lost, then you stand before God condemned. You need to wake up. See, the condition that you're in as a sinner, the condemnation that you're under if Christ comes again, and wake up and turn to Christ. Do you hear the alarm? You say, Pastor, I got things to do today. I've got places to eat. Listen to me. You're still living in a dream world. It's not about eating today. You say, I've got places to go. People are expecting me. It's not about that. We're talking about eternal things and spiritual realities. It's time to wake up. One of these days he'll come. It'll be over. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would operate on our hearts now. You would speak to us and do in us, Father, what it is that you've started. God, I pray for those that you're dealing with, those whose hearts are being awakened even at this very moment to the reality of their lostness, to the awfulness of the condition of being lost, that they're separated from you and in desperate need to be saved. God, I pray, Father, that you would operate in such a way that they'd realize, Father, that you really are God, that you really are coming again, that your word really is true, that it really is time. Father, there are folks that are here, Lord, that you've dealt with in times past, and they just keep hitting their snooze, putting it off and putting it off. Father, would you awaken their hearts to the awfulness of being lost, to the desperate need to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that their sin is forgiven, that they've been born again, have new life in Christ. Would you, Father, operate on those hearts today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.